the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, some of those fights this weekend ended up being really damn good. Had some upsets, had some great knockouts, and then also had somebody who won who should have won. So let's go ahead and just start with the boxing. First of all, the Canelo Alvarez fight versus Dimitri Bivol. And Bivol ended up getting the upset win in this one. And, you know, it was on Friday's show, I had said about Alvarez that he's just a killer with the body shots, and he's even knocked people out on multiple occasions with the body shots. He just kills you with the body shots, but somehow Bivol just was able to defend so well against what Alvarez was throwing at him, and you could just tell as the fight was going on, especially, I want to say, I believe it was the eighth round. You could just tell that, like, there was just this one barrage of punches that Bivol had on Alvarez, and you could just tell he was getting to him. And just as the fight was wearing on, you could just tell Alvarez was just wearing down, and with his cardio at least. And but Bivol, he looked like he was just ready to go and ready to win. And so I guess we see that why that guy is undefeated. And, you know, like I also said on Friday's show, that's why I respect Canelo Alvarez and what he's done with his career, because there are so many boxers throughout the history of boxing who have just taken, you know, just those tomato can boxers where they're just trying to get an extra win in their record, or they're just trying to get back from an injury, or they're just taking some good money, and they'll end up fighting weak fighters that they shouldn't fight. But you can't really say that about Alvarez for his entire career. And especially where he's at now, because, you know, everybody's doing those gimmicky boxing matches these days. He could easily do that, but he hasn't even considered doing that. And so that's definitely what I respect about him. And so you look and see what he did here. And he ended up losing to Bivol. Like I said, it was a great fight. Neither one of them really got in over the other one. You could tell it was just close from start to finish. It's just Alvarez, he was just slowing down as it kept going. And he just wasn't his usual self. I mean, he wasn't able to get really the usual typical body blows he gets in. He usually gets in some real good hooks. And for the most part, Bivol just was able to defend himself and counter punch. And he just got in some really nice hits. And he snuck by and got the win in the upset. And I mean, it's Alvarez's first loss since 2013. So, I mean, that's not really that... I wouldn't be crying if I were him. I mean, he still gets to be Canelo Alvarez, you know. So he's rich as hell and has had a great boxing career. Nonetheless, I mean, when you fight as many fights as he's fought, you're bound to lose at least one or two. And hopefully this might be kind of one of those wake-up call losses for him where it's like maybe he was getting too confident, too cocky, and maybe this was something that he needs to get his ass into gear for whatever he's got coming up next. This could definitely set up a second fight between him and Bivol. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen right off the bat. Looks like he wants to face Triple G again for the third time. So honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the route he goes. I mean, the Triple G fights are huge lucrative moneymakers, if you don't know. Especially Alvarez, Triple G, boom. Those are two excellent fighters, and they're two big names, and they just bring it. I would see why he would go with that route. But also, like I said, now this sets up a matchup again with Bivol, and we'll see if he can come back and defend it and try and get the title. But that was just a good fight overall. And, you know, it was, I was very shocked that Canelo didn't really get, he wasn't really in control at really any point, especially towards the end. So it was a good overall fight, and we'll see what happens in the future for Canelo Alvarez and Dimitri Bivol. Now moving on to the UFC. So the Oliveira fight, actually right after I recorded Friday's episode, I find out that Oliveira missed weight by half a pound. And so they stripped him of his title before the fight even started. So only Gaethje was really fighting for the belt. But it went as I expected. Oliveira, you know, it was actually right off the bat, like, these two guys are going at it. They're just trading barbs. And Gaethje's getting some real solid hits in on him. But so is Oliveira. And but Oliveira got him where he wanted to. And he got him to submit in the first round. And it was pretty quick, too. And, you know, it went how I expected it to go. But that was so weird to see him lose his title before the match even started. But it was a good fight. And both fighters just really, they took it to one another. But Oliveira did what he does. And he got him to submit real quick. And then I would call the disappointment of the night was the Nama Yunus Esparza fight. And it's not just because you know, Nama Yunus actually lost. They ended up, it went five rounds and ended up going to decision. And Esparza was the unanimous decision, I believe. And, but yeah, no, overall, it was just a very boring fight. Like, there not many punches were thrown. Neither one of them really was aggressive at any point. And I think that's really where Nama Yunus messed up in this one. Is if she would have just been a little bit aggressive in it, I don't really know what happened. Maybe they just didn't expect something that Esparza was coming at her with, but she really wasn't coming at her with anything either. And I mean, while she did get her title back, she didn't seem like she won it the right way. But hey, she's got the title, and we'll see what happens for Nama Yunus. But that was just a poor fight all around. And I mean, not many punches were thrown. I think there were only like, I think Nama Yunus only threw like something like six in the first round or something like that. I can't recall, but it was a really underwhelming fight. But the fight of the night was Chandler versus Ferguson, and Chandler delivered this amazing kick to the face of Ferguson. Front kick right to his freaking jaw. And you could even see there's even like, not just slow motion, but there's like great shots where you just get the shot right with the foot to his face. And it's just like, it's melting right there on his foot. But it's one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen. And that was definitely the fight of the night. So those were all the weekend's fights. And then let's talk about the NBA playoffs. A lot happened in the playoffs. We are not going to have any sweeps in this round. Let's go ahead and start over in the Eastern Conference with the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers matchup. And the 76ers got Joel Embiid back, and with that, they got two wins here. They won Game 3, 99-79, and they absolutely dominated in that one. And Embiid didn't even really have that good of a game. It was a solid game, but he really wasn't the deciding factor in this matchup. But then they came back in Game 4. Ended up getting the win 116-108. And now the series is tied at 2. Now, I will say in Game 4, James Harden, he did step it up. He actually had a really, really good game. But I will say about Miami is their shooting was absolutely atrocious. Not only both games, but especially Game 4. So they really need to step it up when they get back home in these next couple of games they have. But this series has gotten real. And now that Joel Embiid's back, we'll see what happens. But he was definitely needed. But Miami definitely needs to step it up and do a little bit better on the shooting side of things, because that's their bread and butter. And they've gone really cold in Game 3 and Game 4. And then in the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics series, man, there was a great game. Game 3, Milwaukee got the win 103-101. It was a battle. Actually, Milwaukee started off the game with, I think, like a 14, 16-point lead, something like that. But then Boston came back and cut that lead down after halftime, and it became a real game. It was back and forth, back and forth. And then at the end of the game, there was a controversial call. Marcus Smart. He was trying to shoot a three. In my personal opinion, I think it was the correct call because he wasn't, in my opinion, he wasn't really shooting yet. Yes, his feet were in there, but honestly, I think he that's what should have happened. But regardless, he ends up making the first three free throw. And then purposely misses the second one because at this point they're down by three. So they definitely need 3 points to at least tie things up. And it was crazy because after he misses the second free throw, there's this, it looks like, you know, he gets the rebound, throws it up, miss. Then they're able to, they're, you know, tipping the ball. It almost goes in. And then right as the buzzer goes off, they get it in, but it was too late. It was still in his hands. Milwaukee just snuck out of game three and they're up on this series 2-1 and, game four is tonight. So we'll see what happens in that matchup. And then over in the Western Conference, the Phoenix Suns versus the Dallas Mavericks, this series has finally gotten good. You know, it started out, the Suns looked like they were going to run away with this one, but then, game three, Dallas won 103-94. Luka had an amazing game. And then game four, Dallas won 111-101. Once again, Luka had an amazing game. And we're tied. This series is now tied at two. And, you know, it's just been Chris Paul has actually had two really bad games in game three and game four. He actually fouled out of last night's game. And he only had, I think, 5 points. So Chris Paul has really he's really done a disappearing act in Dallas, but but Luka's also just really he's been phenomenal. But I still have the Suns winning this series, but you know we'll see what happens here. But there was some controversy, and at the end of the game, it sounds like some stupid fan wanted to get all loudmouth and started talking shit to Chris Paul's family in the stands. And apparently somebody even, like, touched his mom or his wife or both of them. Either way, the fan was removed, and it was a really stupid scene. And by stupid, I mean whoever this fan is. I don't understand why anybody goes after anybody's family. I mean, first and foremost, it's just a game. So I've always felt it's very weird, these fans who just, like, who, like, actually have, like, hate and vitriol for not only the players on the court or on the field or whatever sport we're talking about, but right now, so it's just, we're talking about basketball, we're talking about the court. And so I've never, like, thought to myself, oh, gee, let me, like, other than, like, just, you know, the regular fan booing, like, just out of fun and stuff, but, like, I never would be courtside and, like, think to myself, oh, there's Kevin Durant. Let me say something super fucked up to him and I'll be really cool. And maybe I'll even, he'll get a technical or whatever. And it's just like, why would you do that? Now, if I were that close to Kevin Durant, I would totally be like, hell yeah, man. Even if I was like it's Lakers, Nets, and Kevin Durant's there now. I am a Kevin Durant fan. So, but I would totally be like, hey man, you're playing well, or, oh, you suck. But like in a joking way, I just think it's very weird when people, like, get hate and vitriol, but then it's even more weird to me when people do it to their family. You know, let's say, for example, I'm at an Eagles-Cowboys game, and I just happen to be sitting next to Jalen Hurts' mom. There's no way I would, like, turn to her and, like, say horrifying things or, like, want to fight with her. I'd actually, like, probably, like, oh, you're Jalen Hurts' mom? And then, like, maybe, like, jokingly, like, oh, he, interception, ah, you know, like, but... And if they won, I would, like, turn to him and be like, oh, well, that's cool. You must be a proud mama or something like that. But there's no way in hell I would even consider saying something rude to somebody's family member like that or anything. Like, A, they have nothing to do with the game. And B, there's no point. It's rude. And why do you need to do that? It's just a game. So, yeah, whoever that fan or fans who did this, they not only deserve to be kicked out of last night's game, but they don't deserve to go back to any other games. I just think that's so weird that you would actually want to, like, get physical with somebody's, with a player's family. That's just rude. And why are you going to touch a dude's mom on Mother's Day, too? Like, come the fuck on. Who are you? So, yeah, that was a bad end to a really good series so far. And then the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. This is another one that's getting real chippy. First of all, this one's been chippy since game one. But game three had its extra bit of chippiness. Now, Golden State absolutely obliterated the Grizzlies, 142 to 112. So Golden State's up on the series 2-1. But, you know, in game one, Draymond Green had the foul and was kicked out of the game. Then in game two, God, I can't remember the guy from the Grizzlies' name right now, but he had the foul, hard foul, and Gary Payton Jr. breaks his arm. And then in game three, Ja Morant gets his defenders trying to grab the ball, and he grabs Morant's knee instead and kind of grabs it. And Morant did not play the rest of the game, and then he had a limp after the game. And it looks like he's actually doubtful for game four. And so, yeah, he's pissed off. And but this has turned into a very chippy series. And it's going to be interesting to see how game four goes. As far as, you know, a lot of people were thinking or wondering if it was on purpose that this guy hurt his knee. And it didn't look like it was on purpose. It was definitely, I would call it just, you know, he's going for the ball and then he just... shit happens. I mean, you don't know what's going through his head. So I don't think it was on purpose, but this series is getting chippy. So it's going to be very interesting to see how game four goes. Right now, Golden State's in the driver's seat. If Ja Morant doesn't play, I don't think the Grizzlies are in more trouble if Ja Morant doesn't play, because they did get through the season, a lot of the season, with Morant injured. So I think they could get through one game for sure. But I kind of feel like this series has been in the Warriors' hands the entire way, and I just don't really see the Warriors losing this one. So whether Morant is injured or not, I think Golden State's got this series locked down, especially with that score in the last game, 142 to 112. It wasn't even close. It was close, I think, in like the first quarter, second quarter, but, you know, Golden State had the upper hand the whole way. So this series, I think, is going to be ending here in not too long, but we'll see what happens next game, because these guys, they're throwing some elbows, that's for damn sure. And it's nice to watch. Don't get me wrong. I actually like that kind of basketball. That's actually what I like about the Warriors and what I like about Draymond Green. Draymond Green's a very old school type of player. You know, Draymond Green is not known for... being the huge point maker. I mean, he will make plays. He can be the highest scorer on your team, but that dude's known for the grimy work in the paint. He's that dude throwing the elbows. He's that dude pissing you off. He's that dude in your ear. He's that dude getting the rebounds. He's that grimy dude. That's what he's there for, and that's why I like Draymond. And tonight's games, we've got Boston versus Milwaukee. And then we've got Memphis versus Golden State Warriors. So we'll see what happens in those two matchups. Both very good matchups so far. And then just in a little bit of extra NBA news, the Sacramento Kings hired Mike Brown as their new coach. We'll see how that goes. You know, the Kings have been a very horrifyingly horrible organization for, God, I don't even know, a long-ass time. They haven't been competitive in quite some time. So I don't know. You know, Mike Brown's not known for turning organizations around. And I don't think he's going to do that with the Queens. So we will see what happens there. But Mike Brown, this is his third job. He actually used to be the Lakers coach many moons ago. That was a horrible time as a Lakers fan, just so y'all know. And then he was the Cleveland Cavaliers coach, basically when LeBron was a rookie. And God, how many years he coached him? At least I want to say like 6, 7, maybe 10 years, something like that. But he's got some coaching experience. He's definitely, you know, he's been a bench coach for the Golden State Warriors now for a few years. I think ever since he got fired from the Lakers, as a matter of fact, he went and became a bench coach with the Golden State Warriors. So he's been doing fine there. It's honestly nothing against Mike Brown. It's just I think the Kings are a terrible organization, and I don't expect them to be good because of him. So have fun up there, Mike Brown. And then the MVP award that's been announced, it looks like Nikola Jokic, he is going to win his second straight MVP. You know, can't really argue with it. He did have a spectacular season. Although it's just kind of funny when they announced the MVP and he's not playing in the playoffs. He couldn't even get past the first round, which is why it's kind of like, how is he MVP? You know, I totally thought it should have been Joel Embiid, hell, even Giannis, but I think it was Embiid all the way. He was the focal point of his entire team. They're still in the playoffs. I mean, hell, you even saw in the playoffs the two games he didn't play, how different the 76ers played. So in my opinion, it should have been Embiid, but you can't hate on what Jokic did. I mean, statistics-wise, he had one of the greatest statistic seasons. I think it was actually historic, some of the things he did. And he obviously was a valuable player for the Nuggets, but I would have gone Embiid, but hey. Now he's a two-time defending MVP. Good for him. And then also, Coach of the Year was announced as well. It's Monty Williams of the Phoenix Suns, also well-deserved. I mean, the best team in the league this year, coming off of a loss of last year's finals. I mean, you could always choke, and they have not choked yet, and they're playing great basketball so far. So we'll see how far they go, but Coach of the Year is going to Monty Williams. All right, and then let's move on to baseball. There was a ton of good baseball this weekend. Break down my top 10 MLB power rankings. There are some new teams this week in the top 10. Some teams dropped out, like my San Francisco Giants. Unfortunately, they dropped out. They had a pretty bad week overall. Their last two games, they actually did win against the Cardinals, but man, they got swept by the Dodgers last week, and the Cardinals did kick their ass real good in game one of the series that they faced them this weekend. So my Giants, unfortunately, they have tumbled on out, but you know, they're not looking bad. It's just they had a bad week, and that's how power rankings go. I mostly look at I do look at overall what things have happened, but if you're hot this week, then you are in the top 10. So let's get it started with number one on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Yeah, you hear the disdain in my voice. That can only mean one thing. Ugh. The Los Angeles Dodgers are number one on my MLB power rankings. Ugh. I hate when the Dodgers are good, and they're always fucking good. They're 19-7, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're on a 6-game winning streak. Whoopee! Go Dodgers! They beat the Cubs this week. I just said it. They swept my Giants this week. So, yeah, not happy. And also, you know, Clayton Kershaw is turning into the ageless wonder. This guy has been having such a phenomenal season. He had another great outing this week. And then Walker Buehler, he's also having a great season so far. Both of them have 4 wins. I know they have 2 of the lowest ERAs in the league right now. They're striking motherfuckers out like there's no tomorrow. Cody Bellinger is still on fire right now, and now Mookie Betts has also joined the I started off the season cold, and now I'm on fire league. So yeah, Dodgers, I had to put them at number one because not only did they beat good teams this week and dominate them, but they're just playing great baseball. They're on a 6-game winning streak too, so you can't really I mean, I can hate on it, but when I'm actually doing rankings, I actually have to do this thing called not be biased. I know it's real difficult for most people in this country to do, especially these days, but I can do it. I'm a grown-up. I'm an adult. I know how to do those kind of things. All right, and then number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. They have the longest winning streak right now in the league with 7 wins. They just went on a murder fest this last week. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, 18-11 overall on the season. This week they kicked the crap out of the Detroit Tigers and the Seattle Mariners. Speaking of ageless wonders, Justin Verlander, he also has 4 wins. He's also one of the top pitchers in the league with the lowest ERA at this current point in time. he's back and playing at an amazing level. Bregman has had an excellent week this week. And then also Kyle Tucker, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but he's made some big plays defensively. So I got the Houston Astros at number two. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Having another great week. They're 19-8 overall, 8-2 in their last 10 games. A couple of their games did get canceled or delayed this week due to the weather. So they had to play a couple doubleheaders yesterday, and then they played an afternoon game already today. So in what I just said with their record, I did not include what happened with the afternoon game because I already had all my notes and everything, so I didn't really feel like changing it. But yes, the Yankees actually did get a win a few hours ago against the Rangers. So they played the Rangers this weekend and the Blue Jays earlier in the week. Currently, Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo, they lead the league in home runs with 9 right now. And Aaron Judge has just been on fire. He was kind of cold like the first week of the season, but ever since then, this dude's just been raking. And then, you know, Stanton's also playing great. And then you Torres had a huge hit yesterday, game winner in the to break the tie. And then they're pitching. Cole is back to what his usual form. But also everybody else in their pitching. I questioned whether or not the Yankees were going to be a legit team this year. And it was mostly because of their pitching. But they're starting pitching. And hell, their bullpen. Their pitching has been very, very solid. So offensively, defensively, pitching staff, Yankees are they're a good team. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to keep this up all the way through the postseason. All right, and then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Angels, 19-11 overall in the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This week they faced off against the Nationals and the Red Sox. And man, like their bats are on fire. You know, Shohei Ohtani, he's still on fire. He had a game winner the other day. Mike Trout, I think he's got he's hitting like 306 right now. Anthony Rendon, he's turned it on. But then they got this new guy, Taylor Ward, who's a no-name, who pretty much nobody knew who he was. At this current point in time, he leads the league with a batting average of 364 and with 6 home runs. So like this guy has been, he's been something else. You know, I thought the Angels were going to be a good team this year, but he was not anything that I saw coming. And hell, Rendon is, he's an aging dude. He's been in the league for a minute now, and to see him still raking and playing good baseball at a high level, it's something else. So good for the Angels. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Mets. They have yet to drop out of this top 10. They've been in my power rankings since week one. Because they are 20-10 overall on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They faced off against the Phillies and the Braves this past week. Man, Pete Alonso, this dude, he's just, speaking of raking balls, man, like he's just been hitting them out of the park. He's been playing small ball. He has just been the dude for the Mets. But also, man, their starting pitching is something else. Max Scherzer, that's another dude who's old as hell, but just suffered his first loss in 343 days. Yeah, his first loss in 343 days. And even in that loss, he still pitched pretty damn good. But he is just, he could win another freaking Cy Young, for Christ's sake. The Scherzer is just an ageless wonder. It's just crazy to see this guy pitching the way he's pitching still. But then also, too, Chris Bassitt is having a great season. He's got 4 wins. Scherzer's got 4 wins. And then this rookie, oh, my God, I'm drawing a blank on his last name, McGill. McGill, he has 4 wins, and he's been pitching phenomenally. So I don't know what the Mets were another team where I was very questionable on, and they're playing some great baseball right now. So I've got them at number 5 on my top 10. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Chicago White Sox. They are 14-13 overall in the season, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they're on a 6-game winning streak right now. They beat Boston and Chicago this week, and Abreu's having an excellent week. He's just been hitting the ball out of the park, but their starting pitching and their bullpen really has been on fire this week. I mean, hell, even Dallas Keuchel, you know, he's having a great season, and he kind of faded away the last, I want to say, like 2-3 seasons. He's been very injury prone, but so far he's playing lights out for the White Sox. So they have now made an appearance in my top 10 for the first time this season. Then number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Minnesota Twins. They're 18-11 overall. They're on a 3-game winning streak, but they are 14. They've won 14 out of their last 17 games. Like the Twins have just turned it on. You know, they started off the season really bad, looking like they were not going to be a good team at all. But then they got on track, and this team's been on fire. Byron Buxton, he also leads the league in home runs with 9, right up there with Judge and Rizzo. And then Jorge Polanco, he's having a great season. This week they just beat, they played against the A's and Baltimore. So yeah, the Twins, they're just rolling on. Then number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the San Diego Padres. They're 19-10 overall, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week they played the Marlins and Cleveland. And, man, Joe Musgrove has been pitching out of his mind these last couple of starts. He's also right up there in the top 10 of lowest ERAs as well. He's got 4 wins on the season, so he's just been having a phenomenal year. But also, so the hell has Manny Machado. Dude's batting a .385 with 7 home runs, and nobody is talking about him. It is crazy. I haven't heard anybody talking about Manny Machado this season, and he's just having another spectacular year. And this week, also Alfaro, that he had a couple of game winners, and he just had a spectacular week for the Padres. So they are at number 8. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 19-10 overall in the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week they went up against Atlanta and Cincinnati, and their shortstop Willy Adames. He has 8 home runs right now. So this dude's just been raking it in. Their pitching has been excellent. They are just striking out people like no other from start to finish, too. It's not just the starters. They probably have the best bullpen in the league, at least so far. So, yeah, the Brewers are number 9. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays. They're 18-11 overall, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week they just went up against Seattle and Oakland. Man, and just their hitters, Margot, he's had a phenomenal week. He's got a hit, or I think he had a grand slam earlier in the week. So, no, he's been that dude basically every single game this week. You have heard the name Margot. And then Wander Franco, he's had not only a great season, but he had a great week as well. And they're just holding it down with the starting pitching. So that's my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. And yeah, I mean, that's all we've got going on. We've got the rest of the NBA playoffs this week. It's possible by Friday we might know who's going to be in either the Western or Eastern Conference Finals. That should be a little bit more shaped out by Friday. You know, more baseball on the way. But also on Thursday, the NFL will be announcing all the schedules for next year. So we'll be seeing what's happening, what matchups we have coming up for the NFL season. Because even though it's May 9th and there ain't no football going on, if you're an NFL fan, it's always going. Football's always going. Gotta love it. So yeah, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Friday.